This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Bill Shear and Guts Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. For more information, please visit gutschurch.com.
Hey, welcome to Guts Church, people. Hey, let's make a profession of faith. You guys want to? Okay, here's how we're going to do it. Everybody get with me. You guys with me? Tell me you're with me. Let's go. Come on. Okay. I don't judge, nor condemn. I forgive. I give. And God gives back to me. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together. Let's start over. I don't judge, nor condemn. I forgive and give. And God gives back to me. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together. And running over. Man, I'll tell you, that's the whole idea of God, his word, the mechanics of God's word in our life. It starts out, you read that, and you think, okay, wait a second. Don't judge, don't condemn, forgive, and give, and God will give back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Wait a second, what is that? And see, and here's the deal. It's not just about God dumping his blessing upon us. It's that, you know what? That blessing, that word that's come into our life has affected me so much that no matter what anyone does, no matter what anybody says, I don't judge them. I don't condemn them. We have to be a people that never, okay, write this down. Never finalize anyone. If they are breathing, there is hope. That's a good word for some of you guys, because some of you guys have given up hope. You've cast away your confidence, and I'm just telling you, don't condemn. We are not the condemners. So you look at this in Luke the sixth chapter. You look at it, you put it in perspective. We are people that God, as our dad, he's saying, listen, son, don't judge. Man, if you judge, you're going to be judged. If you don't judge, guess what? You'll be hidden in Christ. Don't judge. Don't condemn. I didn't condemn you. You don't condemn anybody. Just follow my lead on this thing. You can do it. And then he says this. He says, forgive. It doesn't say forgive if you can. Try to forgive. Oh, it's hard. I mean, how many guys have heard somebody say, well, it's just hard to forgive. Anybody ever heard that? It's not hard to forgive. It's not. It's really not. You just do this. I forgive him. And you'll say, well, did you really mean it? Well, I might have to say it again. I forgive him. Well, did you mean it that time? Let me say it again. I do forgive him. And let me just tell you, your words have power. And you know what? God will back your play when you honor his word. Write that down too. And I'll tell you, I know that there's people in here that are going through things. People in here that are struggling, people watching on the internet that are, man, you might be watching on the internet because you're desperate. And you're like, God, where are you? God, I need your help. Let me tell you, this room is full of people that have so much forward momentum in the things of God. It's ridiculous. You know, I'm the guy that it's like, you know, God, who you are in my life, as eye hasn't seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered in the heart of man the great things that God has for those who simply walk uprightly and put him first. I'm that guy, okay? And I was talking to a group of men right before the church service, and with me, it's kind of cheesy and cornball, and I've got that card to play now, so you can expect it. That what's God doing in your life? And these men started talking about what God's doing in their life, what they've been believing God for, what's happening in their life. It's like, oh my gosh, man! I went to the men's room before the church service, and I was coming out, and this guy that was in that little huddle of men that went right before the church service, that he said, you know, Pastor, that's a move of God. You know, that's what I'm preaching now. So it's like, oh my gosh, this is happening. And see, you have to be able to see it here. You don't worry about seeing it here yet. You have to be able to see it here. If you can believe it, you can conceive it, you can have it. You just have to be able to speak it. You just have to say, I forgive. And you know what? Your words have power, and God's word won't return void of power. Those words, they're going to accomplish what God has sent them out to accomplish. And we have to be word people. When we say things that are judgmental or condemning or unforgiving, God's gonna give us a check in our spirit. And that's that still small voice. Man, God's gonna give us that little dagger, that little jab where it's like, oh gosh, I wish I'd have said that differently. I had the wrong attitude. I didn't mean for it to be so judgmental or condemning. And then we're those people that, Romans 8, 28, and it's funny because I've heard people recently, here's a religious person, because Romans 8, 28, and there's one thing Jesus hated was religion, okay? One thing. He said, you guys are whitewashed tombstones. You're all clean and shiny on the outside and dead on the inside. And it stinks to high heaven. I mean, that's almost literally what he said. But Romans 8, 28 says all things work together for good. All things as a, not compartmentalizing. How things going? Well, man, my health's good. My job's okay. I just wish I could get in flow in this area of my life or with my friends. I just been battling rejection or loneliness, my extended family and my, but it's just this. And we know that all things work together for good. They work together for good. Listen, as a whole, man, don't compartmentalize your life. Man, don't take it. Take it with this, that here's how God operates. The way God does anything is the way he does everything. Okay, Tony? And the way we have to look at this is that God is gonna bless us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. You got that? He's blessing us. Here's what he does, is he baptizes us. That's what God does. See, we think that baptism is like this sacerdotal function of the church. And we get to operate in water baptism, and we get to operate in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We get to operate, and then there's the baptism. But let me just tell you, God takes this vat that's bigger than the world, and what he does is he immerses us in this vat of every great thing that he's about and just immerses us in it. Man, and then he makes sure that it's in every nook and cranny, it's in every crevice, it's in every part of our life. That's what Romans 8, 28 says, is that all things work together for good. Everybody say that.
All things work together for good.
Man, let's say it again.
All things work together for good.
No, preface it with doggone it. Do it again. Do it. Have a little bit of, put a little bit into it. Man, you got to go west side. Let's go West Tulsa on this tonight, right now. Any West Tulsa people in here? We got some Prattville people. You know what I'm talking about. You got to go a little West Tulsa, okay? Dadgummit, all things work together for good. For those, I love you, God. I'm called according to your purpose. And guess what? That puts it, now there's a demand that's put on your circumstances. Man, we cannot be little, I don't want to disrupt anything. I hate to make waves. I'm rather shy. It's like none of that stuff comes into play when your life depends upon it. And see, and that's why the word is what it is, because our lives depend upon it. And then not just our lives. You know, Joel, it's his birthday, and we're talking, and Kyle said something interesting. I said, Kyle, what's God doing in your life? He said, you know, when we went through the fast, and if I butcher this, then we'll do a video or something, and you can clean it up. But Kyle's the number two bass player in the church, right? Right, because we got the number one bass player right here on the front row. That's what I'm talking, the man. Oh, he didn't get any props. No, I saw him leave the stage going, you know, I don't know if I'm a player anymore. Nobody, I'm not getting the appreciation that I'm needing. You guys all know Scott Houston, huh? Love him. But you know what Kyle said? Kyle said, we had the fast, and I began to believe God, and God started showing me. And remember, we had some messages about hearing God's voice, and God began to show Kyle that there were going to be his life and people around his life, that there was going to be exponential growth in their business and in what God was touching in their lives. And he said, my business, and he said, and then people around me, and that's when things began to spiral upward, because the people around him started saying, man, Bob Hurley, Kim Six opened up a business, and within the first year, they hit their five-year goal. Within the first year. Man, Monty Freeman, It is a year into a new auction. Monty and Sydney here that are faithful in the church and from Skytook here. You guys at Skytook know Monty and Sydney. They opened up a new auction. They are hitting numbers that is higher than any auction in the history of auctions in America. That the numbers that they're putting, and it's all God. God's getting the glory. Man, so many people that it's just shocking. And what Kyle said was that God showed him that the people within reach in his life were going to be exponentially blessed. And man, it just, and then he said in February, which is supposed to be a down month in his industry, he said, we were just covered up in business. And I'm just telling you, who you're around, you get around these people, I'm telling you, it's just like, how many guys have heard about guilt by association? And the Bible says, bad company corrupts good morals. So as good a person you are, you're hanging out with bad folk, it's not going to be good for you. How many guys have experienced that? But see, and at some point, you got to realize that you become one of them. And, you know, I think the old farmers would say, man, don't expect to not get fleas if you're going to lay with dogs. And who you're around matters. And I just want to ask you a couple of quick questions. And then let's get in the word for a little bit and just see, because I believe God wants to do something here. Are you initiating meaningful relationships in your life? Because let me tell you, we're just having a little small talk before church. Just some fellas drinking a cup of coffee. And you know what I realized? These are meaningful relationships in my life. Man, these are, what I love about our church, and I travel, I was just in a buddy's church, and we Chris Hart went up a day before me, and they want to do the Hitman program in their community in Dayton, Ohio. And then when I got there, they wanted to talk about the Hitman, and they want to talk about men. They said, well, about reaching men. And I know that's really what I'm consumed with, is just reaching men. And I get to here, but the men in this church, what's interesting, it just isn't just about reaching men. It's they become my guys. Did you guys feel that way? Man, these are my guy. These are Wes, like Wes is my guy. Man, I remember when Wes visited the church, he's got shiny boots on and big belt buckle and a cowboy hat and saying howdy at the front door, whatever he was saying. And I'm thinking, this guy's a legit, I think he rides horses. He's not a Drysdale cowboy. I think this guy's really a cowboy. This is amazing. But they're my, man, I'm thinking about Edgar, man. How many guys have met Edgar? Man, Edgar, the first time he comes into church, he runs into Juan Charles. Okay, Juan Charles, one of my favorite people on the planet, but Edgar runs into Juan Charles, and they both got that kind of cholo thing working. You know, I mean, it's like they're showing each other tattoos saying you better not come very close kind of thing. But they're redeemed, and it's awesome, and I think the tattoos are even redeemed. But all of Joel's aren't. Joel's got a little makeup work to do in some of those. I mean, plus he's got a daughter now that is going to start asking questions. Those tattoos are going to be changing a little bit. But that was a sidebar. That wasn't planned. But Edgar walks up to Chucky, to Juan Charles, and Chucky's being nice. He's going, hey, where are you from? And Chucky's like, why you got to do me that way? Like it's a turf deal on our porch. And I'm like, it's fun. But now what's happened is, man, these guys have created a bond, and they're our guys now. And see, that's a big deal. It really is. That you have people in your life that listen, it's not just because you root for the same teams. Man, it's that you got guys. Man, they're my guys. I can count on them. They're not going to ever, man, if anybody ever came to me and said, hey, I heard Scott Houston was talking about you, I'd say, you're a liar. Because I know Scott. He's my guy. I trust him. There's a covenant. And see, and that's what we have to get to here. You know, because there's people that say, you know, it's not a religion, it's a relationship. You know, and then you got to wipe that tear away and you got to, and it's like, yeah, we get it, okay? But it's not even just that, it's covenant. Man, God's saying, I know what you've done. I know every impure thought you've ever had. And I want to give you all my stuff. I want to make you mine. I want you to take my name. I want you to have access to everything that I am. So, but I think what happens is the layers of that in our lives, they are affected by the relationships we have. And then we get to those relationships that it's covenant. Man, I remember the day I asked Mike Sparkman, retired from the Ford glass plant, great golfer, getting to play multiple times a week. And I just said, Mike, would you consider helping us with the distribution center just to get the thing rolling? Now it's a few years later, and it's shocking. If you haven't been to the distribution center lately, I walk in there and I just think, oh my gosh. And all I asked him to do was just get it rolling. I mean, he's missed golf trips. He's missed many a golf game. But you don't hear him talking about that. I hear him talking about people that are serving over there. I hear him talking about people that are giving things over there. I hear him talking about new refrigeration units and walk-in freezers that we have over there now. And it's overwhelming to me. Man, I think about George, how long he's probably been 18 or 20 years now. He's married, he's got children, and he's one of those guys that he's not the squeaky wheel, so he doesn't require a lot of maintenance. But then when I see him, it's like that deal in my heart hits, and it's like he's my guy. He's one of my guys. He's one of our men. He's like, but it's all about listen, it's about meaningful relationships, and it requires vulnerability. I don't like that either. I really don't. It requires transparency. I don't like that at all. Man, Samuel and David, you gotta have guys that you can lay down your shield and lay your armor down and be vulnerable. And it's like, man, you could really take advantage of what you know or what you have or whatever it is. And then when you have that, let me tell you what helps. And now I'm gonna go pastor on you, okay? It helps grow the church. And I'll tell you why, because if you're in here and you've got one or two decent relationships, there's probably a shelf life for you being here. Man, the people that are here for the long haul, which is the way God designed church, let me tell you, I know it's convenient to bounce around, but it requires multiple, like more than six meaningful relationships that matter. You know why? There's people that go through things. There's people that need help. There's people that want to celebrate. Man, I want to celebrate with these guys. I want to celebrate people that, man, that are doing great exploits for God and really making a difference in this world. I want to celebrate them. But see, when you have those meaningful relationships, those guys, then you can meet new people. And see, that's the key. The key is meeting new people. The key is allowing your life, and here's going to be the awkward, I don't know that I want to, I don't like that, it's weird, what if they, but you have connection points in your life that people can connect with you, that people can, that they know that it's like, you know what, man, I think this, it feels right to me. Why? It feels like home. Why? Because there's kind of a family or a familiar feel to it, a family feel to it, because I'm connected. I think I made a connection. The people may not have that cognitive thought, but I'm telling you, in their subconscious, in the thing that, because God put that in us to be connected, where it's like, you know, this is a place I can join because I've got these guys. Man, the way it is now with our growth track, it's perfect. That's how we assimilate people in the church now. It's a growth track. Man, they find out what we believe. That it matters what a church believes, but that's not when people come in first. Man, people, before they come in, they're not saying, man, what do you guys, they're saying, what do you guys believe? But the people that come in, they're thinking, wait a minute, do I fit in here? Am I going to be judged? Am I going to be condemned? Is there going to be weirdness? Am I going to have to fight through things? And see, But you meet new people, it causes the church to grow. And I want you guys, I want to be completely honest with you. I am eaten up with growing the church. It's every waking moment of my life. I'm not kidding you. There's a drive in me to grow the church. And because it is in God. Because God ordained the church to stimulate and for ministry to flow from it, for a community to be better, for holes to be filled in a community, for needs to be met in people's lives because there's a great church there, great churches there. I believe that with all my heart. I believe the hope of the world is the local church. I really do. And I believe that people have to be connected. People have to, and so from our standpoint, man, relatively new people in here, I don't know that this resonates in you. Hopefully it'll connect with you, it'll hit with you. But man, people need to, people just to meet them. Man, people to look them in the eye and just, man, be an active listener. Man, I look at Sandy and I know that it's not just a toot her horn, but Sandy will be up here after church for a long time, for however long, just because people have, I just need to get those. I need to meet you. I need to just say something. Can I just tell you what I'm going through? I got to tell you. And you know what? She's going to listen. And you know what? She's not just going to listen. She's going to actively listen. And you know what that active listening thing in her does? It helps people to connect. Because see, the bottom line for her, I know that she makes this cohesive for me. She adds the glue element of it where it's like, oh my gosh. And it's not just all stuff. It's not just throwing missiles at the enemy. It's this, man, we've got a place where people can come and really grow and get better. And that's what we have to understand. You know, and the Bible, turn your Bibles to Ecclesiastes 4, okay? Ecclesiastes 4. I think it's about a third of the way into the Old Testament. Would that be right? Ecclesiastes, you guys here? Because I know people online right now, man, they're standing up and shouting that this is so good. Maybe not. Who are these online people? We love them. Ecclesiastes 4. You guys ready for this? Two are better than one. Every bit of sin, wrong, hurt, pain, whatever you've initiated in your life happened because you were alone or with the wrong people. Let me just help you. Can I be real honest with you? Jason Law is here in the front row. How old are you, Jason? Jason's 34 years old. If you hang out with Jason, when you are with him, you are not going to sin. It's not. You hang out with Jason, Eric? Eric, have you ever sinned? You ever been with people where you sinned? Yes, the answer would be yes, is what he said. Have you ever spent any time with Jason? Have you ever sinned with Jason? No. It's not going to happen. He's the right guy. He's a meaningful relationship. But see, that's what you have to have in your life. And you have to understand when people meet you that they're meeting you and something comes into play here. In Matthew 18, 18 and 19, it says, where two is touching anything, agree. God said, whatever you bind under them, whatever you loose under them, be loosed in heaven. And anything you ask in my name, Jesus said, man, he said, I'll do it for you. He said, where two or more gathered together in my name, I'll join you and I'll be in the midst of you. Man, you know what happens? Man, we come together, nothing's impossible. Man, if when we're connected like that. See, and that's what the church is. See, I said this Sunday that bees create hives, ants create colonies, people create a mess, churches create futures, and that's a big deal. Man, that the whole idea, this connectiveness that makes up the church is a big deal in our lives. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. The Bible says one puts 1,000 to flight, two puts 10,000. Man, it's repercussive. It multiplies. But then the Bible says, for if they fall, one will lift it. He'll be there to pick up his companion. Man, but woe is he who's alone when he falls. Do you guys see that? Man, underline that in the word. Man, some of you girls in here, I'll tell you, Sandy said something to a girl one time. It's probably been 10 or 15 years ago, but this girl said, well, my husband wants to, man, he's in the church softball league and he's all this stuff. And it wasn't here. It was another, I think, matter of fact, even another ministry wife and woman in ministry. And Sandy said, well, wait a minute, you want your husband with those men. You want him with those friends. Man, you don't want him, because I know there's a tendency where it's like, man, you need to be at home. And fellas, you need to be at home. You need to, man, you need to understand where the order of priority is in your life. And listen, I'm not telling you can ever reach a balance. I'm 56 years old. My youngest kid's 18. It isn't that load. It is not a bit lighter, is it, Sandy? Then it's probably as big a load as it's ever been for us right now. You guys can be praying for us, and I'm not kidding. There's so many moving parts right now. There's ministry demands. There's things in the church, man. The staff's incredible. Man, our interns are the lifeblood. They're our heart. Man, the church, I love what I get to do for God and who I get to be in this church. But the load is crazy. To balance it, I have to keep it vertical. I have to keep the priorities right. And that's vital. But, man, you have to remember two are better than one. If one falls, the other can pick him up. Woe unto a man who falls and there's no one there for him. And for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they'll keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be empowered by another, two can withstand him. And that's huge. And that's the title of this message. Two can withstand it. Two can withstand it. Man, if we're alone, if we're isolated, and I'm not talking about solitude. Solitude is different than isolation. Man, there's times where you just kind of have to have a little bit of your time, man. Man, where you just sit and you just dream and you sit and just pray and take notes. I'll tell you, what I love is when I got saved and I went to Bible school, and my best friends were voracious note takers. And I love that because I became a note taker. And then I realized anybody who's made any remarkable effect on the planet in their life were great note takers. So people that come in and they don't take notes, you're not getting it. And no offense, I'm glad you're here, but it's like 48 hours, you retain 5% of what you hear. After 48 hours, just 2 days. And what has to happen is, this is the kind of stuff that tonight is a pastoring moment in your life. It's a shepherding moment in your life. And it's a nurturing moment in your life, a kind of a fatherly moment in your life where, man, you write this stuff down and you'll retain it. Even if you don't read it again. But if you read it again, you're almost definitely going to retain it. But if you just write it down, it's going to have a stronger place in your life. And you have to understand that. And just looking at this, here's a simple question. Who have you been with? Because two are better than one, but bad company corrupts good morals. And I'm talking about this, and listen, under the guise of a move of God in your life. A move of God in this church, a move of God in this community, a move of God in this country. If you, listen, and my vote is we can impact this country. And it always has been. It always has been. We can reach young people in this country. I was in Dayton, Ohio, room full of ministry people, coaches, a few pastors, and all we did was rolled out the Hitman program, and they're like, please, can we do this? When can we start this? Man, we need this. And it was very simple. It was a 10-minute presentation. But I'm telling you, everybody in the room started dreaming. If we can get people dreaming about ministry exploits and about what God can do in their life, oh, my gosh, you tell me that won't go viral and just sweep our country? But who have you been with? Is who you've been with going to produce that? And I know you have to be, there's people that, man, there are obligatory people in your life you have to spend time with. I know that. These jobs, other things. But, I remember that I was brand new in Bible school, and I was sitting about in the middle of the auditorium on the side, and T.L. Osborne was speaking. And I'd never really heard what he was there, a guest speaker. So I'd never heard a guest speaker. And there's a different dynamic on a guest speaker. Do you guys agree with that? Man, people come in and there's a different, man, if they get in the flow of the house and they have a relationship there and then they bring their gift to it, there's a different hit in people's hearts. But TL's speaking, and I was just sitting there thinking, oh my God, young man, brand new Christian, and I'm just looking at this guy and I'm thinking, I've never heard anyone like this. This is amazing. You know, and really honestly, he had preached face to face to more people in the history of Christianity than anybody. So he's a big deal. Just went to be with the Lord this past year. Some of his family's been through this church. Resided here in Tulsa for a long, long time. But he spoke, and I just thought, I've never heard anybody speak like this. This is just remarkable. He gets finished speaking. There's probably 1,200 of us in the room. A room about this size. And he walked down off the platform. He walked through the crowd, down the aisle, right to me. I'm standing there. I got my Bible. You know, and back then, I didn't fit, so I looked like a dork. And I'm sitting there. It's like, because you don't know how to act. You know, how many guys going to church, going to Christians, you're brand new in the faith, and you just don't know how to act. Let me see your hands. That's how I was. I'm just sitting there just like this. He walks down. He walks right up to me. He's face to face with me. And he's looking at me, and I'm looking at him. And he goes, son. I'm like, oh, my gosh. He said, you can never really trust someone until you see them mad. And then he walked off. And people looked at me, and the people came over, and they said, I instantly became popular. And I wasn't comfortable with even the popularity. I definitely wasn't comfortable with the rejection, but the popularity was equally as awkward. So I'm just standing there, and people come and go, what'd he say? What'd he say? And it's like, I don't know. But he did. He walked up to me. He said, you can't really trust somebody until you see him mad. And it hit you. You have to understand, Scott Houston's seen me mad. Sandy Shear has seen me mad. Very few other people in here have seen me mad. I've seen Eric English mad. I have been with Eric English where he threatened my life. You get out of this doorway or I'm going to kill you. And I just stood there. He goes, I'm not kidding you. I'm mad. He didn't kill me. I trust him. But see, the point is that you have to look at it because number one is who have you been with? Number two, what are their values? This is a big deal. I know you guys aren't acting like this is a big deal, but this is a big deal. I mean, I've been through years, 28 almost now, of years of, Daddy, I want to go with Johnny. I want to go spend the night at Harry's house. I want to be, man, Mary's family wants to take me on vacation. Sandy, who's this Mary? Oh, it's a good family. Really? Why don't I like them? Bill, you don't know them. I don't care. They want to take my baby on vacation. There's not a chance. And you know what? I became the no guy. I'm not kidding you. Ask my kids. Daddy, no. But what are their values? And greater than that, can I add a word to that? I can, so I don't really need your permission. I'm going to add a word to that. What are their core values? What are their core values? I'll tell you what, I played rugby here in Tulsa. I played on other national levels. But the guys here in Tulsa, there was a bond we had because there were core values. And some of those guys were heathen. And a lot of places we went, I was like the Christian boy. I was like the Christian. So I had to hit people extra hard. And I had to tackle. I could not ever miss a tackle. You know why? I was the only Christian. I had a responsibility to God, okay? I mean, Joe, you remember those days? Joe's a Christian. Man, Joe, we couldn't miss tackles, huh? But the point is that these guys had values. They were never going to turn their back on you. They were going to never leave you in a lurch. But the people in your life, what are their core values? And it's amazing because what Jesus did, you can look at it in Mark the 5th chapter, he sent them out in twos. Man, he made sure that those core values were intact, that they were responsible for each other and those core values. And And the people that you're with, okay, who you've been with and what are their values and how do they influence you? Because people influence you. Do you know that? Man, when I get around coaches, when I get around strong personalities, people for long, man, they start influencing me. And I realize it's like, wait a second. Man, some of you guys have very skilled, very influential people in your life. And how do they influence you? And listen, you just have to be aware of it. I think that's the whole battle, is that your awareness of how people influence you. And this all comes within the guise of God wanting to move in your life. I'm just telling you, God does not have a switch that he takes and he flips that switch and starts moving in your life. It's not like we gotta go, God, when are you gonna move in my behalf? When are you gonna move for me, God? No, you know what God's doing? There's a constant thrust in heaven. But you know there's things that come into play. Humility, core value, humility. You know why? Pride's an issue. The Bible says God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Man, there might not be a move in your life just simply because there's pride in your life. Man, you gotta check yourself in that. I've gotta check myself. Man, how have people influenced me? Man, all of that comes into play. And Paul said this, check yourself daily that you're in faith. Every day. You'll say, well, yeah, you know, I went on this personal retreat back in April. And man, I really realized some things about my life. And I really checked those things and I corrected those things and I repented. It's like, let me tell you something. It's been 11 months since April. You've missed about 330 days of checking yourself. See, listen, write this down. Check myself daily that I'm in faith. So you know what that means? That means that you could get out of faith in a day. You could be swerved, you could be influenced, you can be affected in a day. And let me just tell you, all the devil wants to do is get you off track. Here's what the Bible says. Anyone who grabs the plow, and here's how, let me just tell you, if I would have written it knowing how you guys are, wanting you guys to succeed, I'd have said, if you grab the plow and you let go and walk away, you're not worthy of the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't say that. Kevin, it says anyone who grabs the plow and looks to the side isn't worthy of the kingdom of heaven. It's just like this. You got cymbals playing over here. You got fireworks going off over here. You've got a little bit of brief nudity that's happening. You got all kinds of other stuff that's going on. You got chocolate cupcakes with an inch of icing over there. You got all this stuff and you got a hold of that plow and it's like, oh my gosh. We went to an outlaw biker rally in Pawhuska years and years ago. They invited us to come there and they said, we want you to pray. When I got there, I'm thinking, holy smoke. It was outlaws and us. Yet we had to sign a waiver that we weren't law enforcement when we came in. We're driving in. We're about a half a mile from where this thing was. We pull around this corner. There's all kinds of OHP cars, and there's like 50 bikers laying spread eagle face down in this field, and their bikes on the side of the road. I'm like, oh, my gosh. And I'm bringing church guys in there. We're coming in to pray. We had our stage set up because we had to pray, and they had their stage set up. Their stage was debauchery. So we were behind our stage where you couldn't really see their stage, but everybody's all there. And we got, how many guys were there? 15 or 20 of us? And we get in this circle, and I'm like, I'm responsible. I'm like, what have I done? I said, okay, our eyes are not leaving this circle. We're all in this circle. Remember, Raj? We're all in this circle. We're all looking at each other just like this. And there is a party going on about 50 yards from us over that direction. And we're all just looking at each other. And then finally, about 10 minutes into it, there was a guy that was just brand new. And he comes running from the other side of the circle. He plops down by me. He said, Pastor, I can't stand it. I gotta look. He's like this. I'm like, you can't be looking over there, man. We made covenant. We're not gonna look. You can't look. All of us want to look, but you can't look, dear God. Poke poke your eyes out. Roger came over, they took his head and drove it into the dirt and held his face down in the dirt. They didn't care if he couldn't breathe. He wasn't going to look. Man, those kind of, that's the foundation of this church right there, those kind of things. But we grab this plow, and we can't look to the left or the right. And man, I've got guys in my life, I'm just telling you, I've got girls, I know Sandy Shear's not going to look. I know that Mike Sparkman's not going to look. I know that Matt's not going to look. And now we're just counting on getting this message, like, look, let's not look. Let's keep our eye on the prize. Let's keep our aim on the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And then any accolades in the world don't matter at all.
Thanks for listening to the Guts Church Podcast. For more information on service times, please visit gutschurch.com.